Gary and I'll be back with you working on this Wednesday. We've got a lot of good things still to go in the week as we'll get in with some of our high school basketball teams still playing. They'll be moving towards the Pavilion in Oxford and playing for state championships in high school basketball. We'll discuss that. We've got other things on a Thursday and a Friday to get to you. But now, John is back in with us to finish up some of the discussion and things in this Wednesday program. And we want to move to the 2020 census, which you are a large part of, named as a chairman and doing things by Governor Bryant and the Complete Count Committee. And I know this is a big undertaking because the numbers that we get are going to lead to our representation somewhere along the way, but we need to get these numbers right. So let's move into what it's been like for you to be involved with this.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a part of our Center for Population Studies, we house the State Data Center for Mississippi. This is a role we've been involved with for over 41 years now as part of a national network, basically representing data users in the state of Mississippi with the Bureau. So every time the decennial census comes around, we play a major role. And as you mentioned, this year we're playing an even more significant role than in the past with the statewide Complete Count Committee. I was appointed as vice chair for the committee from the governor last summer. And so we have an executive committee along with our chair is Giles Ward, a former state senator from Louisville area. And so the group has all kinds of subcommittees ranging from education to business, nonprofits, working on military affairs to try to make sure that every different sector and segment that we see that is touched by the census and maybe have unique characteristics of how they might be counted in the census, that we're doing the outreach and education and then promoting participation.
Is there a group that gets underrepresented in Mississippi, maybe more than others?
Yeah, so we know that from our research and collaboration between the University of Mississippi and also Mississippi State. We work with their Kids Count program. We see trends in Mississippi that mirror what happens nationally, and that is that children are the most likely to be undercounted. In addition to that, kids who are living in kind of complex living arrangements, maybe splitting time between family members, people who are moving a good bit, and folks in rural areas are more likely to be undercounted. And so we're really trying to focus a lot of attention on those areas.
How do you do that? I mean, what is the keys and what are the factors in making sure that we get those numbers?
So one of the big things is mobilization at the state and community level. So in addition to us having a complete count committee at the state level, there are community complete count committees and organizational complete count committees and across the state where people are mobilizing to do the outreach and education and promotion. In addition, we're rolling out some Mississippi-specific PR around this. And so the Census Bureau does things nationally, and you're starting to see commercials and so forth. And that's great. And what we're doing is we're basically supplementing that through the Complete Count Committee and through an agency called the Focus Group that's really focusing attention on Mississippi-specific messaging. And so you're starting to see that. There's a website. There are commercials that are coming out, radio, television, and billboards and so forth, really connecting people to say, this is Mississippi Census. We're a part of this. This is something that belongs to us as the public, and we've got to participate.
You'll hear later in this hour the radio ad that he was talking about that has Marty Stewart on it. So we started playing that, I think, last week. And so it is out there trying to get the public informed. The ultimate goal of the committee, obviously we want everyone represented. I get that. But there has to be an ultimate, here's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, that we're really focusing on how do we make sure that we have the most accurate count possible, and then also how do we kind of engage everybody in that process, and that's communication between, you know, citizens, between leaders, between all the different organizations that we have in the state, and to really understand that this crosses so many lines that we have.
Do you find, John, that people like, you know, you're going to get census takers, right? They're going to go to homes. Are there phone calls that are involved or just people going to? Because here's, you know where I'm going, right? I don't have time to answer this. I don't have time to talk to this person. Do you run into that a lot?
Absolutely. And, you know, this is one of the most exciting times for the census because of this. A majority of people are going to be asked to first participate online. And so they're going to receive a postcard in the mail tells them how they can participate, and they can go on and participate. Nobody's going to come to their house. Ah. Nobody's going to call them after that. However, for people who feel uncomfortable doing it online, or maybe not have a computer or the technology to be able to do it, they'll be able to call and request to participate via telephone, to participate via mail. And then it's those people who still don't respond where that person's going to come out for the enumeration. And so the idea is that we're going to be much more efficient in how the Census Bureau does the work this year, and we're going to be able to target resources much more.
You kind of answered the question. If people themselves had questions or concerns about the census, what are some of the questions maybe you already know that people are asking or concerns that they have?
Yeah, you know, one of the main things is what type of information is asked. Now with the decennial census, we do what's called the short form. It asks approximately 10 questions. I say approximately because it depends on the number of people in your household, how many times those questions have to be answered.
Sure.
And we also ask about age in two different ways, because age is such an important characteristic of the population. But, you know, people say, well, you know, do they ask for my Social Security number? Do they ask? None of that is asked. It's about things like age, sex, race, ethnicity, the relationships within the household, whether or not people own or rent. Those types of questions. The other thing is how private or how protected is this information? And that's one of the things that's really important is there are special protections by law that these information cannot be shared at the individual level. And it's actually punishable for staff and both monetarily and in terms of jail time. So the point is that it's taken very, very seriously, the privacy concerns related to that.
Well, I guess the reasoning behind that, well, I know it is because every week on this show, it seems I'm reading a scam that's going on with a police department or a fire department or an electric company or this or that, and it really has people on edge, and I'm sure that is a battle that the census will have to deal with.
Yeah, and that's one of the main kind of messages that we're trying to push through our complete count committees and working with our PR partners and through the Census Bureau, and really emphasizing this concept of trusted voices. You know, that the best person to communicate to somebody who has those concerns are people that they trust. And that's one of the main reasons for doing the mobilizing and organizing, is to understand that there are protections in place, to understand that this is in this era where we have, you know, we talk about big data, we talk about all these different things happening online and so forth, that this is a way that people can participate in being represented, and that there are the safeguards and controls to protect them.
And then you just answered the last question, because every person listening to this conversation is going to be asked in some form a question or questions, and to be a part of the census. And I think you just let them know you guys are going to try. You're going about it in the right way. The information will be safe. They're not going to get your bank account. They're not going That's to right. ask you to go buy some debit cards or, you know, this is true. This weekend, I had someone tell me they got an email in a phishing scam situation asking them to go buy two Blockbuster video cards.
Wow.
Blockbuster, right? I think there's one remaining Blockbuster store in the state of Oregon or something, because we've looked this up recently. So people, I know you may be skeptical. You may not think you have time. But John, from Mississippi, this is an important thing that's going on.
It's exceptionally important. You know, we've estimated, working with our colleagues on trying to figure out the, not just in terms of our political representation that's at stake with the federal government, or how these data are used for redistricting for state and local politics, but also on the funding side. We've estimated that in terms of different federal programs of support, from education to healthcare to transportation, we receive about $5,000 per person per year in the state of Mississippi in terms of federally funded programs. So you can imagine that's a cost
yeah.
for every person who doesn't participate. So we want to make sure we have accurate data for how our democracy operates. And then in addition to that, what it means in terms of resources and the allocation of those resources, and who's eligible to what communities, what parts of the state are eligible to receive those.
Great information from you. Thanks for coming in today. And we'll be talking to you with other things, I'm sure, down the road.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, we'll finish up this program. It comes up next.